May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord our God and our Redeemer. Amen. What if the real test of our life is what we can live with and what we can live without? What if there is something we must accept from God and or something we must give up for God? What if there are choices which become signs that we are faithful, that we have awakened to God? Are we ready for them? Will we yield to the silent places of what if, the places where we reflect and ponder our life? On this last Sunday of Advent, we now dispense with our wonderments about the final coming of Christ and now turn squarely to his first coming. We glimpse St. Matthew's nativity, and Joseph shows up and holds the major parts. There is a lineage to be offered, an ethical dilemma to be experienced, a dream to be embraced. Matthew tells his tale not with Mary's dreams, but with Joseph's dreams. He begins with Jesus' earthly genealogy. The good news is you've been spared that this day. We get Abraham, who was the father of, and it goes for 14 generations, ending with, and David was the father of Solomon. And then it gives us 28 more generations, which ends up with, and Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom Jesus is born, who is called the Messiah. Here Matthew sets the stage for the coming of Christ, who, according to the prophetic tradition, was to come from King David's line. Matthew further sets the stage with a prophetic sign from Isaiah. Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Look, a young woman is with child, and shall bear a son, and shall name him Emmanuel, God is with us. In Matthew, Christ comes simply in this way. During the year of Joseph's and Mary's betrothal, their engagement, she is found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. He does not say how she was told, how she understands. He only what it is that Joseph does. Joseph ponders showing his faith by obeying the law which forbid the marriage to go ahead. He shows up with an austere kindness, the sort that aims not to hurt, but also to self-preserve. Quietly, the whole affair, the engagement, the marriage to come, will be set aside. Joseph's reputation was at stake as Matthew weaves his gospel. His place in other people's eyes, in the community, according to the law, by his tradition. And that is what he first thinks to follow. Now, the author of Matthew needs Joseph to give Jesus a name and a lineage, and that is the lineage of David. For that is where the prophets tell us that the Messiah comes from David's line. This writer does not need him for his procreative function. But would anyone accept his sexual absence from a pregnant Mary? Do we? Do you or I? Also, he needs Joseph for another reason. He needs him to invite us into the tradition where laws guide behavior and choice. He needs him to stand there as our first knee-jerk response would be to save his reputation, to create a good, obedient distance, to walk away with the silent loudness of righteousness. For that is what the religious law requires of Joseph. You're in a fix, Mary. It's of your own making. Your story, your faith gone mad. Too wrong to be right. But apparently Joseph has another side as well. A side that knows how to listen for God. A side that sees in the energy of a disturbing dream the desires of God. A dream that one wakes from sweating and wondering at its meaning. Like when I'm at a crossroads, a change in work, a new parish perhaps, and I seem to get this same dream. My whole family of origin shows up at the altar with china and a meal. They sit, they eat, they will not leave before worship starts. And I'm stuck with this whole inappropriate view in front of the whole assembly. It reminds me that I bring my own messiness to my work. And part of the messiness is my family of origin. But I digress. That is my dream, not Joseph's dream. Joseph's dream is an angel who knows he is of the line of David, who knows if Joseph will name the child. The child thus is claimed as his and claims the line. An angel who certifies the birth is mysterious in making and in meaning. An angel who describes the child as the Messiah to come. And so Joseph awakens from sleep, from the tight strictures of the law, to the care he has for Mary, his betrothed, to the God he respects and reveres, to the imagination of great kindness, where he will name the child. And God's first reach for us comes, now in a new way, now as a compassionate and from a forbidden place, a child not properly born, not neatly conceived, and by the dream of God. If you will look, you will see that Joseph does much more here. He allows his heart to soften, his hope to grow, his trust to be deeply rooted. God holds a possibility beyond Joseph's imagining that in his choice, in his compassionate actions, God will speak inwardly to him and outwardly to the world in due course. Joseph silently in the background offers the child this model, that sometimes you lay aside the rule of law and care deeply. Here is a silent creation from a compassionate heart. Now, neither Jesus nor the author of Matthew will ever speak on this. But when we think on it, Christ's life was filled with moments of yielding like Joseph's, of giving up some aspect of life or law to incarnate compassion. Is it just an irony that St. John's Gospel, which has no nativity scene, that on one day Jesus is confronted by those who teach the law and who pass judgment for the sake of the religious tradition? They hold a woman caught in adultery. Not pregnant, just caught. And presumably there is also a man caught in this duo, but he's not present. They recite the law of Deuteronomy. She is to be stoned to death. And then they say, and what do you say? They ask that of Jesus. There is then this silent moment where Jesus is just drawing in the sand. And then looking up says, let anyone among you who is without sin be first to throw the stone at her. He turns down, draws again, resuming his thoughtfulness. They appear to have left one by one. Jesus straightens up and looks at the woman. Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you? And she said, no one, sir. And Jesus said, neither do I condemn you. Go on your way from now on and do not sin again. She probably could not fully follow that command any more than you could or I could. But for her, it must have been like rising from a dream. Like hope when someone believes in your possibility. Like finding your best reflected in another's greater hope for you. Is there buried in this story a sweetness that we do not fully see? Is there here the gift of Joseph, who ignores others' silent judgments, who took Mary away and gave Jesus a name? Is this a righteous man who knows how to yield to compassionate action? Is this not the life of Christ and the Christian life? Is this not what God offers to each of us? A path of ordering right from wrong, good from evil, the difference between half hopes and deepest hopes, the seasoning of character that comes from being forgiven and forgiving. Are not our lives, our world, enlarged by the determined hope to seek and act the compassion of Christ into life? In Matthew, it is Joseph who cradles Jesus in a blanket woven of character and compassion. He offers the lineage that gives shape to the Christmas crib. He lives the ethical dilemma, law or love. He dreams a way into a compassionate life and yields to it as God's gift of life for him. His actions become the straw of Christ's comfort. Perhaps for each of us, there is a gift that waits for us as Advent yields to Christmas, as hope for God's care yields to the incarnation of God's being in the human flesh of Jesus, whose life is all compassion. Perhaps it is an invitation for us to soften our edges, the sharpness of our judgments of self and others, to seek compassion, to remember that this is Christ's cradle, the human heart that seeks a forgiving way, compassion, and weaves of safe birth in other people's lives. Perhaps God wants us to dream about deep kindness, the kindness that we can give, the safe havens that we can create in our softened selves, the place and the actions that call out the name Jesus. God is with us. Amen.